Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Let's take a look back into the archives of Atlanta soccer history with Atlanta Soccer Flashback. Flashback. With Jason Longshore on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's Tuesday, November 11th, and here in Atlanta tonight, you can feel it. That mix of pride, possibility. Arthur Blank, going to be on hand. Mayor Andre Dickens, going to be on hand. The NWSL, perhaps? If all signs are right, professional women's soccer is coming back to the A. But this moment, it's not happening out of thin air. It's the latest verse in a story Atlanta's been writing for more than 30 years. A story that started with an idea, a handful of determined volunteers, and a city hungry to prove that it could stand with the world. In the early 1990s, Atlanta was a city chasing transformation. The Olympic bid had just been won, downtown construction cranes filled the skyline, and civic leaders were asking how the games could reflect every side of Atlanta, its history, its diversity, and its women. Nationally, the women's sports movement was surging. The U.S. had just passed the 20-year mark of Title IX, girls' soccer programs were exploding across American suburbs, but internationally, women's soccer was still treated as an afterthought. There was no Olympic competition up to this point. There were very limited professional opportunities in a handful of countries and semi-pro, really, at best. Barely any TV coverage. The 1991 Women's World Cup wasn't even allowed to have the World Cup name attached to it at first. Games were 80 minutes, not 90 minutes. Games were tape delayed and aired in the middle of the night. That disconnect didn't sit right with everybody, especially here in Atlanta, with the Olympic Games coming in 1996. If the city was going to host the world's biggest sporting event, why shouldn't it also make history by elevating the women's game to the global stage? So in early 1992, a new coalition formed, the Committee for Olympic Women's Soccer. It was led by Marilyn Childress, who was president of the Georgia Amateur Soccer Association. Teachers, coaches, club administrators, parents, most of them volunteers, but they had a bold mission to convince FIFA, to convince U.S. Soccer, to convince the International Olympic Committee, and to convince the Atlanta Committee for the Olympic Games to add a women's soccer tournament to the Atlanta Games. Childress told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, because it's not in the Olympics, it's holding back one of the fastest growing sports for women in this country and the world. The committee printed flyers, they held town hall meetings, they reached out to every youth soccer contact they could find. They wrote letters to members of Congress, and remarkably, both chambers of Congress responded. By spring of 1992, resolutions had passed in Washington supporting the cause, officially putting political weight behind the grassroots idea. Atlanta wasn't just another host city for the Centennial Olympic Games, it was a proving ground. There were few places in the United States, or the world for that matter, that combined the level of civic ambition with a fast-rising soccer culture. Georgia Tech had recently expanded its athletic footprint. Youth clubs were thriving in Cobb County and DeKalb County, Gwinnett County. It felt like new clubs were popping up all over the place in the early 90s. You had the strong programs in the Athens area as well. The organizers of this committee saw the Olympics as a once-in-a-generation opportunity, not only to host soccer, but to legitimize it. If the first women's Olympic tournament could succeed in 1996, it could change the trajectory of the sport worldwide. April 10th, 1993, Decatur High School. The United States, the reigning world champions, hosting Germany, the reigning European champions. Yeah, it was a friendly. It was an exhibition match. But it was really a statement. It was a live audition for Olympic inclusion. Karen Rosen at the Atlanta Constitution wrote that it was a blatant attempt to impress the Atlanta Committee for the Olympic Games. Well, it impressed them, all right. More than 5,500 fans, a U.S. record for a women's match at that time, packed the stands. On the field, you had Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy, Michelle Akers, Christine Lilly, Tisha Venturini, and Linda Hamilton of Marietta, already a 1991 World Cup champion. The U.S. won 3-0, dominant. Anson Dorrance, the head coach at the time, called it absolutely unbelievable. Hamilton later said that some friends didn't even know that women played soccer until that night. 5 months later, the IOC approved it. Women's soccer would debut at the 1996 Olympics right here in Georgia. August 1st, 1996. Athens, Sanford Stadium, 76,000 fans watched the U.S. defeat China 2-1 for the first ever Olympic gold medal in women's soccer. It was quite literally history on Georgia soil, the largest crowd to watch a women's soccer game anywhere in the world. That night proved the dream was worth the fight. It showed that women's soccer could sell tickets, draw national TV audiences. There was a huge push to get more coverage on NBC, and they were slow to come around at the time. It inspired a new generation, and it lit the fuse for everything that followed. The 1999 Women's World Cup boom, the first professional league, and eventually professional women's soccer in Atlanta. The Women's World Cup in 1999 was going to be held in smaller venues until the success of the 1996 Olympics. And we know what the 1999 Women's World Cup brought to this country and to women's soccer across the world. A lot of that happened because of the success of the work here in Georgia to have women's soccer debut in the Atlanta Olympics in 1996. By the late 90s, the momentum was unstoppable. The Brewhouse Cafe opened in Little Five Points in 1997, became one of the first true soccer bars in the Southeast, a gathering place for local fans during World Cups, Premier League mornings. You had professional men's teams in Atlanta that had returned for the first time in over a decade. The Atlanta Ruckus was playing, and that turned into the Atlanta Silverbacks. By the time the U.S. lifted the Women's World Cup in 1999, the Brewhouse was established. Soccer in Atlanta was growing and thriving, and the women's game was really starting to grow. Out of that wave came the Women's United Soccer Association, the WUSA, the United States' first fully professional women's soccer league, and one of its founding clubs would be right here in Atlanta. The Atlanta Beat, owned by Cox Enterprises, launched in 2001 at Bobby Dodd Stadium. You had families in the lower deck at Bobby Dodd Stadium, Brian Escurry in goal, Cindy Parlow Cohn, one of the stars up front, Charmaine Hooper from the Canadian national team, Hamari Sawa from the Japanese national team, Sun Win from the Chinese national team, Nikki Serlenga of the U.S., all leading the attack and starring on the field. The Beat reached the 2001 WUSA Championship Final, quickly became one of the league's most competitive and best-supported franchises. In 2002, they moved to Herndon Stadium at Morris Brown College. Same venue hosted Olympic field hockey in 1996. So you had that connection to the past and everything that had kind of helped launch this. The Beat were playoff regulars. They were community pillars. They were a successful team. The rest of the league was not, however, and they maybe didn't have the best business plan and maybe rushed things a little bit. And the league folded at the end of the 2003 season. It was only three seasons, but it was a very strong, lasting legacy. Atlanta proved that women's professional soccer could thrive in the South. When the WUSA folded, it kind of felt like unfinished business, but Atlanta rebuilds. And in 2009, a new professional league had launched, the Women's Professional Soccer Banner, WPS, and the Atlanta Beat came back. Different ownership this time around, different place to call home. They played at Kennesaw State University's soccer stadium, now Fifth Third Stadium, one of the first purpose-built homes for a women's team in the United States. Hope Solo, Carly Lloyd, Lori Kolupny, Eniola Aluko, Kia McNeil, so many different players played for the second version of the Beat. Crowds came from all over the metro area. The WPS really had a lot of issues internally, and it affected every team in the league, including the Beat. I think being in Kennesaw was more of a struggle than people thought it might be at the time. It just didn't work, and the club and the league folded ahead of the 2012 season. But the infrastructure remained. Kennesaw Stadium has hosted national team games. It's hosted youth tournaments. It's hosted college cups. It's hosted Atlanta United 2. It's hosted Atlanta United. It's hosted international matches. Very, very cool to see that one of the reasons why that stadium and ultimately Kennesaw State college football came from a women's soccer team. So you had this all kind of underneath everything. The grassroots was growing as well throughout this whole time. All the different youth clubs filled the vacuum, and you had players getting opportunities to play. College programs, you had longtime programs like Barry College. You had others launch in the 90s. Emory started in the 80s. You had others launch in the 90s like Georgia State, Mercer, Kennesaw State a little bit later, Georgia Southern, Clayton State, Oglethorpe, Georgia Gwinnett. Then the University of Georgia launched in 1995, becoming a flagship SEC team as the SEC got into women's soccer, finally. When Atlanta United arrived in 2017, it kind of supercharged everything for the sport. Through A&B Sports and Entertainment, the Atlanta United Community Fund, Soccer in the Streets, and Station Soccer, the GA100 Mini Pitch Initiative now, soccer's become a language that connects every corner of the state and the city. You've had the WPSL launch in the last few years here in Georgia. Decatur FC setting records for attendance. Georgia Impact ready to go pro in WPSL Pro, which is set to launch next year. The women's game is very much alive at a competitive level and growing and providing more and more opportunities for players to play, people to work in the game, kids to dream, all of the things that you hope for because of the sport that we love so much.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk create in Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Think back to April of 2024. Mercedes-Benz Stadium hosted the She Believes Cup. The U.S. women's national team defeated Japan 2-1. We had a chance to call that match here on 92.9 The Game, the first local radio broadcast for the U.S. women's national team in history. Over 50,000 fans were at the Benz, the largest crowd for a U.S. women's national team friendly on home soil. It's kind of a full circle moment in a lot of ways. There were a lot of people that were in the building last year at the Benz that were at Sanford Stadium in 1996 for the U.S. women's national team winning the gold medal. Georgia crowds have always shown up for women's soccer, whether we're talking Atlanta Beat, whether we're talking the U.S. women's national team, whether we're talking She Believes Cup, whether we're talking the Olympics. Also, Atlanta has a rich history of not just women's professional soccer, but women's professional sports. The Atlanta Glory brought professional basketball to the city in the 90s. The Atlanta Dream, founded in 2008, they have taken up that mantle and carried it forward, not just playing, but leading. Remember in 2020, the Dream's players took a stand for social justice that reverberated far beyond basketball. It's another reminder that in Atlanta, women's sports have always stood for more. Courage, leadership, community, all of the things that are going to be celebrated at tonight's event that will have some form of an announcement about a team, it sounds like. We're going to all find out together, aren't we? You've had so much more of the Atlanta vibe as well. You've got powerhouse softball programs. You've got women's American football programs. Flag football has become a huge initiative across Georgia high schools thanks to the Blank Family Foundation. Atlanta and Georgia are just like they're the epicenter for soccer in North America, just like at Soccer City USA. I think Atlanta and Georgia is one of the pillars of women's sports in the United States. That brings us to the NWSL. Launched in 2013, kind of out of what was left of the WPS, and it launched in a much more, I think, reasonable manner, much more of a long-term build kind of manner, and that's why it's still around and thriving today. It's arguably the premier women's professional soccer league in the world. The Women's Super League in England will argue that. It's expanded. It's stabilized over the years. It's thriving where others couldn't because of the business plan. It's now a multi-million dollar media property with attendance records, national sponsors, clubs valued in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And now it looks like Atlanta's going to join that story. The league and Arthur Blank and AMB Sports and Entertainment are expected to announce that an NWSL expansion team will be coming to Atlanta, could start play in 2027 or 2028. It's going to be a team built in the same spirit as all of those folks who lobbied for the Olympics in 1992. Atlanta didn't just host history in 1996. It helped create it. And now, with this new team, it's ready to shape the future again. It's easy to call this a beginning, and it will be a beginning for something new, but in actuality, it's a continuation. It's a continuation of that belief that Marilyn Childress and her committee had in the game, in the power of the sport, in the possibility of the sport. It's a continuation of the resilience to fight for it. All of the players like Linda Hamilton, who had to play on boys' high school teams because girls' teams weren't around at that time, all the fight that took place in various counties to get girls soccer recognized at the high school level. It wasn't until the early 90s that you had a state champion in girls high school soccer. It was 1992. The boys side started in 1966. There was high school soccer before the first official state championship, but counties had to organize it. Counties would come together and form coalitions. There were a lot of people who fought for this for a long time. There were a lot of people who fought for women's soccer being in the 1996 Olympics. And thankfully, they did fight because we have what we have today as a direct result from that. Everything in the timeline, the first GHSA girls state championship in 1992, the University of Georgia launching its program in 1995, the Olympic gold medal game in Athens in 1996. the two different iterations of the Atlanta Beat that inspired so many kids all over the metro Atlanta area. The Atlanta Dream and everything that they have done and become a model franchise in the WNBA in recent years. The She Believes Cup last year. And now it looks like there's going to be a new chapter, and it's going to involve the NWSL. Georgia has produced some of the best players in U.S. women's national team history. Kelly O'Hara, Emily Sonnet, Jane Campbell. Some of the ones that have been in recent generations. Croy Bethune, going to be in the next generation. Plenty more to come. All of them are a reflection of Linda Hamilton and her journey in the game, where she still coaches today. A reflection of all the different fields all over the metro Atlanta area that girls have played on over the years, and all of the dreams that built this movement. The Olympic flame, the torch, maybe it was the spark. The beat maybe gave this some rhythm to it. The dream kept it alive. The vibe added energy. Tonight, sounds like a new team might be emerging to carry all of that forward. For Atlanta Soccer Flashback, I'm Jason Longshore. From the high school fields to the Olympic stage, from Athens to Atlanta, the game comes home, and I'm really excited to see what we learn tonight. If you're listening to this before the announcement and before the evening, I will be on Atlanta Soccer tonight, starting at 10 o'clock on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app, and we'll have plenty of reaction to whatever gets announced here later today. Have a good rest of the day. Very excited to see what we find out tonight.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.